This hour of Justice and Drew brought to you by Center of the American Experiment. Check them out, americanexperiment.org. Follow them on Twitter, at MN Think Tank. Tons of great articles and great content. They are putting out fantastic work on a regular basis, and they are absolutely worth following.
Well, and what we love about the conversation we're currently in the middle of, and getting back to more of your phone calls, Center of the American Experiment, this new study that was done challenging the conventional thinking of the necessity of a four-year college degree to thrive financially. And look, there's not only valuable information in the study about different avenues to take, choosing a two-year degree, apprenticeship, occupational certificate, sometimes, often do better financially than college-educated peers. So you get valuable information in it, but also there's a breaking down of the stigma that's been around for so long that you need to go to a four-year college. That's just how you do the A, B, C, D steps of life. We've discussed in the past that idea of, well, you got to get married and you got to buy a house. And,
right,
you know, it's like,
that's the American dream.
No. You know, 4-year college, get married, buy a house. No. That's sometimes and oftentimes.
So much debt.
Don't do that, Sam. Because then you lose jobs through no fault of your own and have to move places and houses get foreclosed on. That stuff hangs on your record for like 7 years.
Long time.
It's really, really bad.
Yeah.
Right Truth.
So, all the debt.
All the debt. Right Truth on Twitter says, let's not forget the military. You get a free college and learn a trade at the same time. They use the hashtag TCNT. Border Patrol. Starting salary of Border Patrol, $60,000.
Mm-hmm.
$60,000.
Yeah.
Now, granted, it's really hot. You know, but it is a career that pays really well, and I know a lot of agents and Artel Cueto, you know, from the Border Patrol that
on the show when we were in D.C.
Yeah, the very valuable career path that some people will
and
choose.
And it's valuable work. I mean, the Border Patrol does a lot more than just, you know, keeping an eye out for illegals and trying to, you know, keep them from coming in. I mean, there's a lot of humanitarian work. There's a lot of rescue work.
Construction.
Got to
build a wall.
I mean, it's they do a lot of great stuff. Tons of people calling in want to share their stories, their perspective on the fact that you don't necessarily need a 4-year degree to have a successful career or a successful life. Let's start with Greg calling from Becker. Good morning, Greg.
Yeah, good morning, gentlemen.
Go ahead.
See, I'm going to go one step further and say that after all the phone callers this morning and the comments I've heard, I was compelled to call in because it warms my heart to hear that. And I'm going to call it what I think it is, that the scam of a 4-year liberal arts education or general education is finally being exposed. You know, with all these frivolous classes they have the students take, just to keep them, what I call, in school for 4 years of tuition. For example, my daughter's going to a career college, and in 18 months she's going to graduate as a computer program designer. She'll be out of that college almost debt-free, and she'll be ready on day one to sit down at her desk and perform her job. And simply because she goes to school every day to be taught exactly what she's going to be doing in that career and that alone.
Wow.
That's excellent.
That's amazing.
Yeah, that's awesome. Thanks for sharing that.
Well, and the discussion surrounding the peace of mind of being debt-free. And not only that, but going the other route of the frustrations that debt brings and the strains and the stress. And
it's a jail.
Yeah.
It's a jail. I mean,
it really is.
When you get past a certain point in debt, it becomes, you know, it becomes like a prison sentence in the sense that, you know, you can't do anything. And it's really hard to substantially advance your life until you get that debt paid off. And some people never do.
Yeah.
Some people just get caught in that sort of endless cycle of debt, using debt to pay off debt. I mean, we went through that for many years, me and my wife, and it was really difficult, and it took a long time to get out of because we made some stupid decisions in our 20s.
That debtor's prison that we used to hear about now becomes that, you know, that prison, that jail cell that you carry around with you.
It's
everywhere you go.
And the freedom and the liberation when you feel when you actually do become debt free, it's amazing how much more flexibility you have in your life.
Well, and I hate to get all, That's where the joy in life comes from. It doesn't come from having all the money in the world to do whatever you want. It comes from just having the financial stability to know that you're on the right path. You don't need all the money in the world. You don't need to be rich. But when you are financially stable and making the gains for your future, that's where the peace of mind comes from.
And that's the where you have the ability to go and pursue the things in life that do make you happy and bring you joy, or follow your dreams and things like that.
For some people, it's, you know, Star Wars toys. I'm just saying.
For some people, it is Star Wars toys.
Let's talk to a Tom in White Bear Lake. Good morning, Tom. Welcome to Justice and Drew. What do you think?
Good morning. Love your show, guys. Great topic.
Thank you.
I work in the remodeling industry as a manufacturer, and, you know, we are so short on good installers and good craftsmen to work in the home improvement industry. And these kids can come right out of college, get on with a good company, make easily $13 to $15 an hour, and inside of 3 to 4 years, be able to run their own crews. And these crews, they can make a good living. They could easily make $60,000 to $80,000 a year.
Wow.
That's awesome.
Wow. That's... And you don't hear that. You don't hear it promoted.
Yeah.
You don't hear it talked about. You know, that's just, it's not the, it's, I'm so glad, and it is very encouraging, and thank you for the phone call, that we've received as many phone calls as we have of people talking along those lines, because you don't hear that in mainstream media. You don't hear that when we discuss education and colleges. You just don't have those, you don't have those conversations. Unfortunately, the dialogue and the narrative seems to surround the, you should be paid more at what you're doing because the person employing you isn't being fair to you. And that's why I get so disgusted with the fight for 15 argument, because you can take all that energy and point it in a good direction and actually do positive things and encourage people in positive ways. But instead, you're making matters worse by encouraging them to not only stay where they are, but also to make more money for not achieving more, and casting their boss as the villain in the process.
Yeah, the person that's actually employing them and providing them with a paycheck is the bad guy, because they're not paying them what they think they need to make. You know, take all that energy trying to get the government to artificially inflate the wages of jobs that are, to be fair, low value.
Right.
And use that energy to tell all the people that are working those jobs, here are options for you to learn new skills and get out there. It's not that hard.
Mm-mm.
There are technical colleges all over the place. There are vocational schools all over the place. And how many calls and tweets have we seen from people saying that, you know, the construction, the craftsman, the industry, all these industries are in need of people with skills and are willing to offer apprenticeships.
Yep.
To learn these skills. But that's not what I want to do. Okay, fine. And enjoy your job at the fast food place, and keep compelled, trying to get the government to compel your employer to pay you more.
Out of the Star Tribune this morning, with a tightening labor market and the holiday hiring spree underway, Target Corporation said yesterday that it's going to raise the minimum wage of all hourly workers from $11 starting in October. It will bump the rate to $15 an hour by the end of 2020, becoming one of the nation's first major employers to set a date to hit that mark. And look, that's how a business, a company should do it, make a decision on their own. I can't help but wonder, however, I wonder how much of this is Target seeing the writing on the wall and trying to get out ahead of it and wanting to make their own decision. Either way, I'm fine with it, because they are making the decision on their own.
On their own, right? Exactly. They did it without any government manipulation or any being compelled to.
Right.
You know, they just did it, and they did it because they either saw where it was going, or they understand that market forces are such that if they want to keep the certain standard of employee that they want, they're going to have to pay more than their competitors.
Yep. 651-989-5855. Let's talk to Dan in Eden Prairie. Welcome to Twin Cities News Talk.
Yeah, hey, hi. Hey, I just listened to your show. When I was 17, I graduated high school. I went to school for machine trades. I worked in that trade for about 15 years. It's a great trade. I was pattern maker, mold maker, tool maker, CNC machinist. Was able to travel the country. Then I went back to school, got an engineering degree, and started a business, a machine shop business in my garage. And I got out of the University of Minnesota as a mechanical engineer debt-free because of that trade. And I still own that business. I've had part time, and that's the benefit of these trades is that you learn a lifelong skill that you can be an entrepreneur and you can start your own business. And there's no way I would have got through college at 17 with, you know, the 60 hours a week of studying it takes to get through that. I was too young and naive. So it's just the alternative. You don't have to jump into college just because you don't go to it right out of high school.
Right.
Doesn't mean that you can never, go back and do it. But I wouldn't give up the trade school I went to. I'm a big advocate for the trades. And working in the industry, there's a lack of skilled people to go in and run the complicated lasers, the computer controlled equipment. The technical colleges just started closing down, and now you see them start bringing those programs back. There's a huge gap between industry and the colleges. So anyways, that's my two cents.
Thanks, Dan. Appreciate it. Ben, calling from Ramsey. Go ahead.
So I just was wondering on your thoughts on, like, the Fight for 15. Do you think this is like a backdoor way of increasing tax revenue? I mean, if you had to, if everybody had a $15 minimum wage, then the government would be getting more revenues in from taxes and Social Security, stuff like that would increase.
Now, most of the people that make that are making minimum wage really don't pay much in taxes.
Yeah. No, it's a backdoor way to make sure that they keep voting for Democrats. Yeah. Or not even a backdoor way. It's a very upfront way to kind of keep them.
Because the politicians will go out and take credit for the raise.
Right.
You know, they'll say, we gave you a raise.
Right.
The state of Minnesota gave you a raise.
That's
the city
how
of Minneapolis
right.
gave you a raise.
And look, the reality of that is there will be here's the vicious truth of it. There are people, check this out. This is amazing. There are people that will benefit from the $15 an hour minimum wage, right? Those individuals were going to move on anyways. Those individuals were going to move off of those jobs that they had and move on to better and other careers because they probably understood that the jobs that they were in were not lifelong career jobs. Those were jobs that they got to learn job skills right. as a stop on their way to another job that could end up becoming their career. So, yeah, there will be people that will take advantage of the $15 an hour minimum wage. But again, that's just on their pathway to their better careers. In the meantime, you're going to have fewer jobs. You're going to have business that are going to lose money, not going to be able to employ people or offer the benefits that they do. The call that we had from, I can't remember what his name was, so my apologies, but had a call from an individual who said his son had gotten a job, was making a decent salary, and that the benefits were amazing. I remember one of the first jobs that I got in radio, like, I didn't pay anything for healthcare because it was just me. So the healthcare was just free. Mm-hmm. Stuff like that is going by the wayside.
Oh, yeah.
You keep pushing $15 minimum wage on these businesses, there's no way they're going to be offering the benefits.
Well, not just $15 minimum wage, but the mandated benefits.
Right, the mandated benefits
that go
as
along
well.
With it. Businesses are now mandated by the government to offer benefits that may not even be applicable to their workforce.
Right.
You know, single men have to have pregnancy coverage. It's ridiculous. Let's go to Rick in Bloomington. Go ahead.
Yeah, I love your show, guys.
I've got two
thoughts. First, I dropped out of college after a year, got in the mortgage business, did that for a couple of years before the crash. That happened. Started another business, got, bounced around, got in the insurance business. You're talking a lot about the trades, which we absolutely need help for. But you've got other professional industries that are going to be on the cusp of changing with the technology coming down. But, get insurance, realtors, mortgage brokers. Financial advisors, even to a large degree, who don't really need college education. They need certification. They need expertise. Financial advisors may need more there. But the other areas, there's a tremendous amount of money that can be made, flexibility. You don't even have to start your own company most times. So that was first thought. And the second one was from an insurance perspective, we're already forecasting the potential cost of insurance going up, both on homes and autos, because the cost to pay for the labor due to the labor shortages coming is going to be so much more expensive. You got a specialized niche of like a plumber, and a water leak costs three times as much now. So those are a lot of other factors we're going to have to deal with going forward.
Absolutely. Thanks for the call, Rick. A lot of great info. Let's go and talk with Larry in Minnetonka. Good morning, Larry. Welcome to Twin Cities News Talk, Justice and Drew.
Hey, good morning. Love your program.
Thank you.
I was 50 years old. I was driving truck for a freight company and pickup and delivery, and I wanted to get off the truck really bad and basically get into sales. I had a mentor, thankfully, and I kept talking. His name is John. I go, well, maybe I should take some marketing classes or something. He goes, said, well, why would you want to go to school and interrupt your education? And I said, he said, I'll tell you what to do. This is free. You can do it at night. Go to Toastmasters. And I did. And I went for a long time, and eventually I got hired into sales for the same company I was working for. And end up having a 20-year career, a very successful career in sales. This is in the 80s, you know, in the late 80s, and you know, my salary doubled in a very short period of time. So that's my comment about it. Thank you.
That's great.
Let's grab one more phone call.
Ann, good morning. Ann, you there?
Oh, hello. Hi. Sorry.
That's all right.
I love you guys.
We love you too.
Thing. I'm just calling about the $15 that, you know, that's becoming standardized. I work for the state in like a mental health capacity, you know, working in group homes and different things. And if they get this $15, they're going to make $3 less than most of us make. And I'm not, like, that is completely, it blows my mind.
Yeah,
yep.
French fries and handout burgers and bring a couple groceries while we're sitting there dealing with you know, people who suffer with mental illness.
Yeah.
Put our lives, you know, at risk potentially.
That's the domino effect that the supporters of the $15 an hour minimum wage, they absolutely know it and they absolutely don't want to talk about it, is the pressures that that's going to put on other lines of work in other industries and people that maybe have been in a place for 5-6 years and busted their butt to get those $3, $4 an hour, you know, increases over time. All of a sudden now, a person walking in the door on day one is going to be making as much as them. That's not going to be acceptable to them. They're going to want an equitable raise.
Thanks for the call. And coming up, Dayton weighs in on the kneeling protest. Maxine Waters, we have the audio, calls for impeachment again of Trump. And we'll be talking with Pete Hegseth here on Twin Cities News Talk. Justice and Drew. Sam, too. Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130. 103.5.
We decided.
FM. We have. Luckily. Sam, Drew is very excited that Survivor's coming back.
It's, yeah. It's
what season are they on?
I have no idea. 72? A lot.
Yeah, I remember when that started.
It's one of my guilty pleasures. I've never stopped enjoying that show for the first season.
It oddly mirrors my radio career because it started like not too long after I got started in radio. Only remember because we
same here actually
because we did that that homeless survivor stunt in my rock radio days.
Oh God!
Can you even imagine?
No.
Can you even imagine if somebody tried to do that now?
I wish he hadn't actually said that.
Hey man, we did a lot of good. People got off the streets, ended up in shelters. We did a lot of good. Yeah. Couldn't do it nowadays, but the time it was. But yeah, it's been going on Survivor for a long time.
Coming back tomorrow night. Brooklyn Nine-Nine comes back tonight.
Oh, I was wondering. That's the one I was... Now I'm excited. Because I was wondering when that was going to show back up again. Because they haven't... they haven't wrapped up the weird sort of season. It ended on a note that I didn't like because it got all serious. And I don't like it when my comedies get quasi-serious. That bugs me. All right. Also, we don't like it when politics enters our sports. We're going to talk with Pete Hegseth coming up after 8:30. But Governor Mark Dayton yesterday said that he disagrees with professional sports players who choose to sit or kneel while the national anthem is played before a game, but also believes that they have a right to use the gesture as a sign of protest. He was asked during a news conference yesterday what he thought of the wave of players in the NFL and other leagues choosing to kneel, sit, or stay in the locker room in silent protest.
Governor Dayton is on board with about 65% of Americans, according to some the most recent poll data put out. There's a poll put out that they polled equally people that have a favorable and unfavorable opinion of Trump. So you get a nice cross section of, you know, regardless of how you feel about Trump, a vast majority, 65% and up, think that NFL players should stand and be respectful to the national anthem.
Dayton said, I think especially sports figures who are making millions of dollars should be out there day after day providing assistance, and some of them are, to counteract the deficiencies that they are speaking out against, but I don't question their constitutional right to do so. And look, to the point, the NFL could have politely asked all the teams, hey, please ignore the president's words and respect the national anthem, and rose above it. And it could have been, look, not only would it have been better for everybody, it would have been better for the NFL. The pro-Trump side of the argument would have been great with that. And detractors to Trump would have had the NFL to say, hey, they could have just as well shown their protest to Trump by ignoring what he said in a better positive way than by going and kneeling, which brought about it in a very negative, convoluted, confusing way.
And it's, to make it even more convoluted, now the kneeling for the national anthem has become about Trump and not about the issues that players initially started kneeling for, which was, you know, police deaths of African-Americans. That's what started this whole thing with Colin Kaepernick. Now there's this weird litmus test being put out there by a bunch of liberals, so who are looking at NFL players and players in other sports now and anybody else, saying if you don't kneel for the national anthem, they're going to call you out, and they're going to assume you're some evil, nasty, alt-right Trump supporter.
And look, I thought it was dumb when Colin Kaepernick did it the first time. I thought that was inappropriate, and I got the reason why, and I appreciated the fact that he actually went and donated money after all was said and done. But I thought the initial reason and him sitting down for the reasons why he was, his initial reasons for sitting or kneeling, I thought those were dumb. Back when he was just doing it. But watching SportsCenter yesterday, it was really interesting because I thought that the commentators were doing a very good job of being rational about it, and they were calling out both sides. I can't remember who it was, but one of the individuals came out and he rattled off all the things, all words, true statements that Trump had said against people, things that he didn't agree with, things that he thought were bad on various different levels, including the SOBs to the NFL players. He's like, look, this is the president that we have. This is what he says. This is who he criticizes, and these are the names that he calls all kinds of different people from all different walks of life. And then he added, but the NFL and the players didn't need to go and kneel and basically play right into the hands of what President Donald Trump was doing. And I heard several different commentators go and say that. And it was nice and refreshing to see some common sense brought to the argument. But it also, again, went back to, yeah, the NFL and the players, in my opinion, act stupidly and made it worse by doing what they did. And unfortunately, you're seeing some of them walk it back. Ben Roethlisberger now got caught up in the middle of this and said, I really didn't want to be involved in this, but I got swept up in it because of what was happening with the team and staying in the locker room.
Well, hopefully, much like the sudden rise of Nazis that we dealt with a few weeks ago that has gone away, hopefully in a couple weeks this will die down and it won't be as much of an issue. There are going to be players that will continue to kneel, but what I would like to see is that the broadcast media, the networks that carry these games, stop treating that as if it's the most important thing happening
right
over the course of a game. You know, stop making sure that there's cameras focused on them every single time. Stop spending so much time talking about them. They're doing it because they have their reasons. Let them do it. We don't have to engage in it. We don't have to pay them a ton of attention.
When was the last time we heard about an actual legitimate Nazi, like, on the streets doing something in a news report? It's been several weeks, right?
Yeah.
Right? Just hasn't been, I mean, really ever since the Charlottesville incident. It is still amazing to me listening to different podcasts of different subjects and how that still permeates a conversation. People still bring up, you know, at a time when we're battling Nazis. Taking place on the streets of America every day.
Right. It became true for a lot of people just because it got said enough.
Right.
There are people out there that now genuinely believe there's some rise of Nazism happening in America. It's ridiculous.
So in metered markets, according to Deadline, the primetime matchup, Washington Redskins, Oakland Raiders, the worst Sunday Night Football has performed this season so far. 8% dip in the early numbers of last week's game. The NFL ratings are down double digits this season so far after taking on a similar tackle for loss last year. Sunday Night Football wasn't the only action on Sunday, though. They say that CBS's Oprah Winfrey debuting in the 50th anniversary season premiere of 60 Minutes and the one and only broadcast of the new Star Trek Discovery. They all counted those as potential things that could have taken away viewership from the NFL.
I'm not buying it.
The results next week, so the coming week, okay, are likely going to have a better perspective on how widespread the political protest by the NFL players, how if this continues, or a lopsided win by the Redskins over the Raiders that brought the Sunday Night Football ratings down over the weekend. Regardless, the metered market numbers displaying an 8% dip, the FAST affiliate results aren't providing the Hail Mary for the NBC or the ratings-challenged league. Yeah, so the numbers are not continue to not be good. So, although Donald Trump tweeted this morning that apparently, I don't know what data he saw, but apparently he saw data where the numbers were up right at the start, and then they all dropped.
Yeah.
Everybody tuned in right to see who kneeled, and then they tuned out.
And they lost interest.
In the meantime, out of the American Mirror, during a weekend appearance on MSNBC, Maxine Waters, California congresswoman, talked to host Joy Reid. Would you like to hear some of that audio there, Andrew? Here we go.
I really believe that this is the most deplorable person that I have ever met, seen, or witnessed, let alone run for and become president of the United States of America.
That's offensive.
It is absolutely outrageous and dangerous what he's doing. He started dog whistling to that constituency during the campaign and started his division. And don't forget, Bannon said, when it's about race, we win because they frighten people. They play into racism. They do what every other president either has attempted not to do or at least showed some signs of, trying to bring people together or not divide. But he is about division. He is about signaling to that core group of his that this country that he wants to make great again is all about making it white. And it's all about saying to them that your troubles, your problems are caused by those people. I'm going to put a travel ban on people who we won't let into United States of America because they're the ones who are undermining your efforts to do well. He's pointing now to the NFL. We know that the majority of these players are African Americans, and we know what he is doing. We're not tricked or fooled by him in any shape, form, or fashion. And someone said, how is it he can never criticize Putin or the Kremlin or Charlottesville and those KKK nationalists, supremacists, etc. And
yeah, he never criticized them.
Strongly
except
criticizing,
for all the times he
did. You know, football players and NFL players.
Yeah.
And so it's clear. We know who he is. He's defined himself. What are we going to do about it?
Yeah.
I know we're not talking about Russia and collusion today, and we're not talking about obstruction of justice, but I hope people understand it's about all of this that he should not be the president of the United States of America, and we got to get ready for impeachment.
And you know what?
You can't just impeach somebody because you don't like them.
Whoa.
He actually has to, like, break a law or something. I don't know if you know how impeachment works, Representative Waters.
What I love about
I don't like him, so he shouldn't be president.
What I love about the 2 minutes is she keeps going deeper and deeper. It's like the interviewer just kind of let her go.
I know.
And she just kind of kept going farther and farther and farther, you know. You start at surface level with the comments and you go, all right, you know, for someone that doesn't support Trump, I can see your point of view. I get it. And then suddenly she just keeps swirling and swirling and swirling.
Just keeps rolling and rolling and rolling.
Lands on, you know, yeah, because the players are black. He's all about promoting white, and we need to get ready for impeachment.
Boom.
Just because.
Just because. Yeah. Just let her speak long enough.
Oh, my goodness.
Hey, real quick.
That's all she talks about anymore, too, is impeachment.
There is one person. I don't know. Do you think NFL players get royalties based off of the sale of specific jerseys?
Yes.
They do?
I believe so.
Well,
I'm not 100% sure.
If it's true,
I believe so.
Then Alejandro Villanueva, who broke with his team to stand for the national anthem on Sunday, will be getting a bonus check as he became the best-selling NFL player over 24 hours after he stood for that national anthem. The former Army Ranger, who served three tours of duty in Afghanistan, was the only Steeler to appear for the Star-Spangled Banner. And apparently, a spokesperson for Fanatics, which runs the NFL online store, confirmed that more Villanueva items, including jerseys and T-shirts, have been ordered than any other NFL player within the past 24 hours. You know, I'm a firm believer that everything happens for a reason, and maybe, just maybe,
Roethlisberger regrets it.
All of this nonsense and all of this stupidity and Trump saying all that was just so this former Army Ranger who did three tours of duty in Afghanistan could get a bonus check.
There you go.
And for that, I'm totally cool with it. Make America great again.
Coming up next from Fox News, we'll talk to Pete Hegseth.
Twin Cities News Talk.
Make sure to download the free and easy to use iHeartRadio app if you haven't done it yet. What are you waiting for? There's literally no excuse anymore.
Knock it off already.
You can take Twin Cities News Talk with you wherever you go. You happen to be somewhere where the signal doesn't reach very well, or if you go in a building or whatever, you can take the iHeartRadio app, take Twin Cities News Talk, and if you miss any portions of the program, check out the Justice and Drew channel. Not only is there a Justice and Drew channel, but there's a Minnesota Beercast channel.
Yep.
There's a Sue Jeffers Show channel. There's a Closing Argument with Walter Hudson channel.
Get caught up on that.
Every TCNT show has its own channel there where you can get caught up.
In the Star Tribune this morning, there was an editorial. Trump is right about political correctness, wrong to push it on the NFL. Free speech is what makes America great. Let's all show respect for that. And again, it lays out this argument of this. I'm putting this on here. The stupidity of how this whole thing kind of erupted, and that there are some decent takeaways from, you know, what Trump was saying and what he was trying to accomplish. But at the same time, what the NFL was doing and the way that they responded to it may not have been the best approach, and how ultimately it really did take away the original intent of what started this whole thing going back to Colin Kaepernick.
Joining us now, a friend from Fox News, Pete Hegseth. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, guys.
You're not kneeling now, are you?
No, I'm not. I'm sitting, but not. There's no national anthem playing that I know of, so I'm good.
What a ridiculous! Across the board, it's frustrating that you know, regardless of how people feel about it, it's just frustrating that this ended up dominating so much of the conversation and topics when there are a lot of much bigger pressing issues. Let me put it this way, Pete.
Yep.
People seemed. And I don't agree with the NFL players kneeling, but people seem to think that is a bigger threat right now than the threat from North Korea in the minds of a lot of people in the public. And that's a problem.
Well, I hear what you're saying, but let me give a little counter perspective on
sure.
that. I think the cultural erosion that we have, the civic erosion that we have, the lack of patriotism that we have, the segmentation into racial groups and gender groups and political groups and different economic groups, splits us and divides us, and has done so for decades now, driven by the left. And so when the president starts a conversation or continues a conversation the way that it did by saying, hey, stand up, you bums, during the national anthem. Let's love our country. Let's love our flag. And then we can debate things. I think he is making a cultural statement, a civic statement that is long overdue, cutting against the politically correct soft approaches that any other leader would have ever taken, because in this country, if we cannot be united by standing for our anthem and our flag, then we will have nothing that unites us. Then we truly have no unifying creed. Not that that cloth matters, but that we always believe that America is a special place, and then we fight it out inside the lines, inside political parties elsewhere. So, hey, yeah, we want to take on North Korea. I agree. But if we don't have a healthy civic life or a healthy patriotism for our country, then you can't sustain a conflict if you needed to have one. You can have a repeal and replace of Obamacare, but if everyone's at each other's throats because we can't actually agree on something like the anthem, that's a problem. So I actually love the fact that he said what he said. I love this conversation that we're having. It's an extension of a cultural battle that we need in America today, because I think there are millions and millions of people that say, how dare these athletes take a knee? They can have their grievances. Take a knee before the anthem. Take a knee after the anthem. Do whatever you want with the other 6 days of the week. Become a member of Antifa. I don't care. Just don't take a knee during our anthem that should unite us. They're the one that made it about the anthem, not President Trump. President Trump is simply saying we should be able to cohere around that.
Well, and I'm glad that we've, regardless of how we got there, I am glad that we had the conversation about this, because I think that we're going to have some reestablishing of some social norms. Looking at the polling data, it's leaning towards people being upset and aligning more with Trump over kneeling during the national anthem. And let's not forget, this was a time when people, and we were talking about this earlier, this is a time when people are still talking about Nazis, even though we haven't really dealt with them since Charlottesville. And kneeling during the national anthem is a dumb idea that Antifa would be applauding if you were to ask any members. So I like the fact that maybe we'll have sort of a definitive answer on what is appropriate and what isn't appropriate when it comes to things that we do cherish, like our national anthem.
Yeah, that's right. And I think I also hope we can get a definitive answer from the NFL. I mean, here's a league that enforces every portion of its rule book, every height of socks and what shoes you can wear and whether you can wear pink or camouflage on certain days.
Mm-hmm.
And in their rule book, we're finding out now, I don't know what page 62 or something, there's a rule that says during the national anthem, players will be outside the locker room, standing during the national anthem, and facing toward the flag or toward the sound of the music.
And let's not forget,
in the rule book,
they had to get paid to put that rule in there. That rule was part of a marketing deal that was struck with them for the Obama administration. But let's also not forget that.
Doesn't bother me at all.
No, it doesn't bother me either. I just think it's relevant to point out. This is also the same league that wouldn't allow Dallas Cowboy players to put stickers on their helmets when the five officers got shot.
Wow, yeah.
In memoriam of those. This is the league that has fined a player for wearing a 9/11 memorial on their shoes. Right. This is the hypocrisy of the league when it comes to, you know, players expressing their First Amendment rights and expressing themselves on issues that they care about. The hypocrisy is terrible on this issue. They need to pick a side. Either players can do it
better,
and they can do it, and they can do it across the board. They can kneel. They can sit down for the anthem. They can wear the stickers to honor the officers. They can honor 9/11. They can wear support the troop stickers. They can either do it or they can't. Pick a side.
Well, exactly. Can you imagine? I mean, it's why rule of law has been so eroded across our country altogether, is when the executive gets to pick and choose which, say, illegal immigration laws they enforce or don't enforce, then the rule of law becomes open to interpretation. The NFL has opened themselves up to the same thing. We've got a rule book where we slam guys for the things we don't like, and then we let them get away with the things that we do like or are too controversial, and it creates this open season where whatever's politically correct is allowed, whatever's politically incorrect is confronted, and you see guys, fans like myself, who couldn't be more of a fan of the NFL, absolutely loves the Vikings. And I tell you this, I followed Twitter as a national. I didn't have the game where I was, but I was following Twitter, and if there had been anybody kneeling on the Minnesota Vikings, I was not going to watch the game. Wow. Thankfully, no one did, and so I felt like as a fan, I can watch my team because they're not participating in this nonsense. But I think there's a lot more people that unfortunately see it that way. And John, I hope you're right. I hope this is a part of a conversation that eventually gets to a place where people say, all right, the anthem's out of bounds.
Yeah.
We can talk about racial profiling. We can talk about policing. Let's do that, but not our country's national anthem. And that's why I love what President Trump has done. And I don't care if he uses salty language. I don't care if he yells about it at a rally about being fired. He's shaking up a status quo which is stacked in favor of political correctness, which doesn't allow real conversations to happen, and now we're having them.
Not surprised at Rand Paul and Graham Cassidy. John McCain, that was a bit of a blow. And then you had Collins yesterday. We can't have three off of Graham Cassidy to get this thing passed. Where are we at? Is there any glimmer of light that they're going to be able to get something passed before the 30th arrives?
In my mind, the glimmer of light is the 2018 midterms. if Republicans can pick up additional seats and we can, you know, I mean, Lisa Murkowski, Susan Collins, and John McCain should just change their voter registration to Democrat at this point. That's how useful they are to the Republican Party on key and core issues. John McCain is waging his own personal battle against the Donald Trump presidency. There's no doubt about that. He uses the language of regular order, and we have to pass something in a bipartisan way. He knows exactly what a bipartisan bill is going to look like. Certainly not going to be a repeal and replace. And this is a man who ran on that.
Yep.
So I have very little hope left. I mean, you've got, because once you see it's not going to happen, then a Ted Cruz wants to come alongside a Rand Paul and say, you know, we were all for full repeal, even though both of these guys voted for the skinny bill. You know, once you get enough people hedging, then everyone starts to hedge so they can stand up and say, well, I'm for the pure stuff. And then when they get reelected, they're not for the pure stuff anymore. But I think this is an issue where if the president and outsider candidates leverage it properly, you run against the swamp again in 2018. You run in favor of reinforcement. You run against Mitch McConnell. You run against, well, Paul Ryan at least got one bill passed. So you at least run against Mitch McConnell and say, it's time to get, we got to be able to not rely on Susan Collins and Lisa Murkowski and John McCain, and instead send, you know, real conservatives to Washington who are willing to take tough votes.
And these are Senate seats that need to be flipped. I mean, the problem, you know, the House isn't perfect, but the House is doing a much better job on most fronts than the Senate. And Senate seats are notoriously much harder to flip. It's tough to beat incumbent senators. My question for you, Pete, is if nothing gets passed on the healthcare front between now and the midterms, do you think that is going to make it more difficult for Republicans running for office when their opponents can saddle them with this, you know, you said you were going to do this and you haven't done anything?
It depends on who the candidates are. If you've got outsider candidates who can say, I would never do that. I'm going to be a reinforcement for Donald Trump. I'm going to take the tough votes. I'm going to shake up Washington. And here's this Democrat who's been doing nothing but resisting this president. And that's what on the Senate side, at the very least, this map is very favorable, should be favorable to Republicans. You've got a lot of senators up for reelection who were elected in 2012, which was a good year for Democrats. And this doesn't have to be a good year for them in light of the obstruction. So you pick the right candidates. You don't be afraid to run on the real issues. And then you point out the Democrats as nothing but obstructionists. And I think we still underestimate the amount of support that President Trump has. Now, what's happening in Alabama is such an aberration because you've got two pro-Trumpers, one of which I think the president was saddled with because of, he was made to believe this is the right guy. Roy Moore's probably going to win, and he's going to be a new, reliable vote for Republicans. So, and especially a reform-minded one who's willing to throw down. So, I don't know. I remain hopeful that 2018 can be a very good year for Republicans, even if they don't get repeal and replace passed, because they're going to be running on a Trump agenda, not a GOP agenda.
Well, and look, I have to keep reminding myself that, and I hope the GOP comes out and hammers this. You know, this is what happens when you get this type of legislation like Obamacare, when you get these programs in place. They are incredibly hard to undo. And the GOP has put their best effort forward on this. In my opinion, they have. I like what the Graham Cassidy bill is trying to do.
Yes.
And there's very little you can do when you've got individuals like Collins and McCain who simply are so bitter they will not move forward and pass this because of their own, you know, petty differences. And
that's right.
And again, Obamacare, I got to remind, 506 amendments, 169 hours of debate, and it was crafted behind closed doors and then passed in the dead of night. It was never going to be easy.
I don't say the things I say about McCain becoming a Democrat lightly. I worked with him a lot in 2007, 2008 on the Iraq surge. I have immense amount of respect for him on the national security level. But what is going through your head when you say, well, we shouldn't have any more of these partisan votes on health care? Wait, so we got Obamacare through nothing but a partisan vote, and now you want to go through regular order and work with Democrats to pass a bipartisan solution that props up the failed bill that they rammed down our throats in the middle of the night? Like, at what point do you believe in what you believe in and lock shields with fellow believers and pass things? And we can bemoan the lack of bipartisanship all we want, but that it's a fantasy to believe that we're going to revive it right now, especially under this president. So why don't you play to win?
And it's frustrating.
Stop this nonsense.
It's frustrating that they're letting imperfect bills continue to saddle us with this giant steaming pile of crap that is the Affordable Care Act. Like that pass, and that was a far from a perfect bill. So yeah, Graham Cassidy's not perfect, but it does some good things. And you need to pass it so that other things can get done. Until the first thing right. gets passed, nothing is going to happen, and we're going to continue to be stuck in this cycle.
That's right, and all Democrats want, all the swamp wants really, is for these Republicans to fail so they can go back to regular order, and the I'm doing air quotes, you can't see it right now, but regular order and proper order and bipartisan committee meetings so they can prop up the failed bill with more subsidies and more garbage and more junk that sends us further down the road to single payer, because that's what they want. Yeah. They know it's not going to work, and then they're going to fall behind a Bernie Sanders, Elizabeth Warren, you know, single Medicare for all bill. That's going to be their solution. Graham Cassidy could have been the beginning of the death blow to single payer in this country. Instead, we can't get out of our own way as Republicans who believe in free market health, you know, that the free market will ultimately liberate us from government oversight. And that's why this is so important. Single payer is coming if we can't do anything.
Hey, you want to take a call with us real quick?
Sure.
Bill in Brooklyn Park, go ahead.
Hey, guys. I guess the people that disrespect the flag and the anthem have never been handed a fold one. God bless America. Thanks for what you guys do.
Thanks for the call, Bill. Appreciate it.
Well said. And I think that's why you saw Alejandro Villanueva. I didn't see his comments this morning, but... And Ben Roethlisberger, the Steelers, regretting that he was in the locker room. But that's why you see the one guy in that stadium wearing a uniform who's actually went and fought for anything in his life understands that you stand for the anthem no matter what. Take the protest elsewhere. It's well said.
Well, and Pete, like I said earlier, I'm a firm believer that everything happens for a reason. And if this whole nonsense happened because he ended up selling the most jerseys in 24 hours and he gets a nice big bonus check, I'm fine with that.
Yeah,
sure. that works for me.
I love it.
Pete Hegseth, we'll see you on Fox and Friends. You are the ongoing weekend host now. Congratulations on that.
Thank you very much, guys.
All right, take care. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, take care. Thanks.
On tomorrow's show, we have confirmed that that Essie Cupp, host of Unfiltered, will be joining us. Sure, she's going to have some interesting words. She's been pretty harsh on Trump over this whole flap. Mm-hmm. Following her Twitter feed, she made an interesting comment too, talking about how she believes that now with Graham Cassidy dead, her expectation is that Trump may go the route of Chuck and Nancy to get something passed because he wants to get it done.
President Trump is giving a news conference today at 12:45. I'm sure we'll have plenty of clips and audio from that on tomorrow's show as well.
And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, is Howard Root
That's
going
right.
to be
Howard,
joining us?
Howard Root's coming in tomorrow. Yeah, he's got there's a really great event coming up with the in conjunction with the Center of the American Experiment. Mark Stein is coming back to Minneapolis, and Howard's going to come in tomorrow, going to give out some details on that. And I believe he might bring a few tickets to give away.
Oh.
I believe so.
To Mark Stein or to like Blade Runner next week?
To maybe Blade Runner.
Oh, okay.
Probably Blade Runner.
Blade Runner opens next week. I'm very excited.
I can't tell.
I'm the only one. Looking ahead a little bit further, Katie Pavlich should be on the show Thursday. And if you missed any portion of the show, you can, if you haven't done it already, download the iHeartRadio app. Go to the Justice and Drew channel to download the podcast. Maybe a little bit later on today. Post show? Maybe a post show.
You want to do a post show today?
Any post show today? Sam, you down for a post show?
Yeah, we'll see.
You can do some post show shenanigans.
Yeah, I'll just post show alone.
Okay.
He will, too.
Let's let that happen.
Yeah, he
I'm
will.
Really curious to hear how that would sound.
I mean, weekly, you talk about Star Wars for 45 minutes alone, so I know you can do it.
I thought that was going to be funnier. I didn't think that was going to be.
Hey, you guys, did you know I was in New York last week?
Hey, Drew, Sam. Great anger.
Great anger.
You're about to get a whole bunch. Just a moment. To give me nothing. What's wrong? I'll get him myself. He's like McGregor. He's got no legs left. I don't give